Good morning. I'd ask that you please take out your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we're going to begin reading there in just one moment. While you're turning there, I'd just like to say it's so great to see all of you here. There are some here who woke up smiling this morning and are having a great day, and you're an encouragement to see. There are some here who are visiting among us, faces we don't know and aren't well acquainted with, and you're an encouragement. There are people here who are having a rough time right now, who have dealt with a lot this week, this month, this year, and you especially are an encouragement to see this morning. It's wonderful to see each and every one of you here. You fill me with courage to serve the Lord better when I see you. Mark chapter 10, let's study the word together. Mark 10, start reading with me in verse 17. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. You know, the Bible likens the life of the Christian to a journey. On multiple occasions and in multiple different ways, that's the picture we're given, that the life of a Christian is a journey. And so Matthew 7 verses 13 through 14 tells us that we can choose the narrow way or the broad way, right? And a way is something that you travel on. It's a path that you travel on, a journey. And Romans chapter 6 tells us that when we're baptized for the remission of our sins, we rise to walk in newness of life. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul would say that as Christians, we need to be careful that we walk worthy of the calling to which we've been called. The Bible tells us that that's what Christianity is. It is a journey. It is a walk. It is a pathway. It is something we travel. That's how Christianity works. We make progress. We improve bit by bit. We rise to walk in newness of life, and then we start changing. Christianity is a step-by-step process of becoming more like Jesus. And because we're all on a journey, because we all have this path that we have to travel, this process where we need to improve and continually grow, because we're on a journey, we all need to have a question at the front of our minds at all times, a question that we need to continue asking ourselves over and over and over again, and it is this: what's my next step? What's my next step? Where is the next place that I need to improve? Where do I need to grow? What does Jesus want me to do next? How can I become better? What's my next step? You know, we usually come to Mark chapter 10 to talk about materialism and wealth and riches and putting those before God. After all, this is the story of the rich young ruler. And it is a good passage to go to for that. And it's an important thing for us to study in that regard, because besides sexual impurity, materialism may be the biggest problem that we face in our culture today. But what I want to do this morning is I want to see something in the story of the rich young ruler that's even more fundamental than that. The truth is, what we see in Mark chapter 10, it's not just a story about a guy and his riches. This is a story about a man who needed to take the next step. Somebody who needed to improve on his spiritual journey. And I think his story can help us on our journey. And so for a few moments this morning, if you will, I'd like to look at the story of the rich young ruler. And I want you to notice from the onset of this story, I want you to notice that the rich young ruler is an impressive man. He is a very impressive man. And not just because he's rich, and not just because he's wealthy, not because he's successful, right? He is rich I mean, he is impressive in a spiritual way. You'll see that his interaction with Jesus starts very well. You can see that in how he comes to Jesus. He approaches Jesus with reverence. Did you see that in Mark chapter 10 and verse 17? In Mark 10 and verse 17, it tells us that a man ran up to him and knelt before him. This rich young ruler, he starts his interaction with Jesus better than just about anybody else that you can read in the Bible story. He runs up to Jesus, he approaches Jesus, and he kneels before him. The first thing he does is show reverence for the Son of God. That's an impressive thing. He doesn't walk up to Jesus skeptical. He doesn't walk up to Jesus with a bunch of questions. He doesn't walk up to Jesus trying to trap him. He doesn't walk up to Jesus to arrest him. He walks up to Jesus and he demonstrates that he recognizes the majesty of the Son of God. He approaches Jesus with reverence. And notice this, and he follows that up by asking a good question. In fact, the rich young ruler walks up to Jesus, he kneels before him, and he asks Jesus the most important question a person can ever ask. He says, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" I want you to think about that moment with me. This man probably has one slim opportunity to talk to the Son of God. He has one chance to ask the Son of God a question. And in that moment, he decides to ask the most important question a person can ever ask. You know, there were other people who had a chance to ask Jesus a question, and they didn't do quite so well when they actually got the chance to talk to him. Do you remember in Luke chapter 12? In Luke chapter 12, Jesus is teaching the crowds, and the crowds are pressing in on him, and he's delivering to them these wonderful and important spiritual truths. And then some guy pipes up in the crowd and says, "Hey, Jesus, tell my brother to split the inheritance with me." What foolishness is that? You have one chance to talk to God, and you're telling him, I want you to make my brother give me more money. What a waste. The rich young ruler doesn't do that. He had his head in the right place. He was looking toward unseen things and setting his mind on heavenly things. He wants to know how to get to heaven. And so when he has a chance to ask Jesus a question, he asked him the most important question. We must commend him for that. Score another point for the rich young ruler. And I want you to notice how Jesus answers him. Notice how Jesus answered him in verses 18 and 19. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And notice how the rich young ruler responds to that. And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." I've kept all these things from my youth up. And that's something else that's impressive about the rich young ruler, right? He has actually kept the commands. He has actually kept the commands. You know, this isn't some half-hearted Israelite. This isn't some rich dude with affluenza who thinks that he can get away with not following the law of God because he's got a lot of money and he gives a lot of money into the treasury whenever he goes into the temple. This is not who that guy is. This is a real, genuine, godly person who is intent on following the law of Moses. Following laws that actually require a great deal of spiritual fortitude. You think about those commands that Moses handed down, they're not easy commands. Think about who this guy is. He's young and he still honors mom and dad. He's young and he's rich and he is still sexually pure. He's young and he's rich and he still has clean hands. He handles his business honestly. He doesn't cut corners or do anything like that. And that's saying something about him. And not only does he do this, but he's been doing this from his youth up. This isn't a change in behavior that just happened over the last month. That isn't going to last. He has been doing this for as long as he can remember, from when he was a youth until this point right now. What we see, I want you to appreciate, what we see in the rich young ruler is a spiritually minded man, a man who is intent on keeping the law of God and who has been committed to keeping the law of God throughout his life. And when we look at the rich young ruler like that, we start to see something very obvious, that he is a lot like us, isn't he? All those things that we just said about him, wouldn't that apply to you and me too? He is a lot like us. Because I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, I know this. I know that you're the kind of person who approaches God with reverence. If you got a chance to run up to Jesus, if you saw him walking down Temple Terrace Highway and you knew that was Jesus, what would you do? You'd stop your car. You might even forget to put it in park. And you'd run up to him and you'd kneel before him, wouldn't you? Anyone willing to say they wouldn't? We would approach him with reverence. I know that because you did that this morning. Because when we came here, we came into the presence of God. And you sang to him and you prayed to him. And you remembered Jesus' death when you partook of the Lord's Supper. We approach him with reverence too. And we strive to honor him in that way. And I know this too, that we ask good questions, don't we? I know that you guys are not carnally minded people. I know that because I've talked to you. I've had conversations with you. You are spiritually minded people who ask good questions. I love when Mingwei comes to me after a sermon. He always has the best questions to ask that are so thoughtful, that are so thought-provoking, that are important questions. That's who we are. We ask good questions because we have our minds set on spiritual things. And if you got a chance to walk up to Jesus in a coffee shop and ask him one question, you wouldn't ask him, do you think Dan Mullen's going to beat the Kentucky Wildcats this year in football? No, you'd ask him the important stuff. You might actually ask him the exact same question that the rich young ruler asked him. You would say, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And I know this too because I've been around you for a season. I know that we strive to keep the commands. We are diligent to keep the law of God. I've seen that. I've seen the way that you strive to be pure. I've seen the way that you strive to help others. I've seen the way that you give and give and give to follow the Lord's command and be the kind of people that Jesus wants you to be. That you turn down temptation in so many facets of your life and you strive to do good things to build up the Lord's church in so many different areas. We keep the commands too. And so when you read about the rich young ruler, I think it's important. I think it is especially important for us to not just look at his story and see him as just some kind of worldly-minded, carnal guy who never stood a chance at getting into the kingdom. It's important to look at him and see that he looks a lot like us. Right? That we are spiritually minded people striving to be holy, and so was he. He is like us. Just like us. And that's why what happens next in his story is so troubling, isn't it? Because what happens next in the story, we are told, Mark tells us in verse 21, looking at him, Jesus felt the love for him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Right? That's what Jesus does here. Jesus sees that this man lacks one thing, that this man is not quite where he needs to be in one area of his life. And so he says, I want you to take all that you have. I want you to take all those riches. I want you to sell them and give what you get to the poor and come follow me. Now that is not a command that's given to every single one of us, and we're always quick to point that out when we talk about the rich young ruler, right? Don't sell your house, don't go live on the street. We're always quick to point that out. But what Jesus does here is identify in this man an area in his life where there was room to improve, where he needed to take the next step. All right, rich young ruler, you've conquered lust. You've conquered stealing and fraud. You've conquered the temptation to not take care of your parents. But here's what you need to conquer next. Here's the next thing on your list. The next way that you need to improve to become more like me. You need to work on how much you love your riches. And so to prove that to me, I want you to sell all that you possess, give to the poor, and follow me. I want you to let go of them. That's your next step. You know, this guy is not a bad guy, as we said. He's way more righteous than the Pharisees. He is not guilty of some egregious sin that he had to cover up. He's not batting 300 on the Ten Commandments. In fact, I believe that when he ran up to Jesus that day, he ran up to Jesus with a completely clear conscience, because as far as he knew, he'd done everything he knew to do to please the God of heaven. But Jesus finds in this man an area in his life where he needs to improve, where he needs to take the next step, and in that moment, he fails. And that is frightening to us because he is so much like us. This would be such an easier story if this were a case of affluenza. If this were a guy who just didn't care, who just loved his money and didn't do anything spiritual, it would be so much easier. But the fact that he's like us makes it hard. And the fact that he fails in that moment makes it difficult for us as well. And so the question is, if we are so much like him, and if he ends up failing at the end of this story, how do I make sure that my story ends differently than his does? And the answer is this, that you and I distinguish ourselves from him when we make constant improvements in our life. Right? That's what we need to do. That's what he wasn't willing to do. We need to ask ourselves, what's my next step? What's the next thing I can do to become more like Jesus? How can I become more spiritual? How can I grow? How can I become better? And when I'm willing to ask that question, and when I get an answer, and I'm actually willing to do it, that's how I distinguish myself from the rich young ruler. You know, it's a truth that the Bible teaches over and over and over again, that every single one of us at all times has room to grow. Every single one of us at all times has room to grow. There are areas where you can be better. There are areas where I can improve. There are areas where I lack right now that I need to lift up and I need to strengthen up. Areas where I need to get better. You want to throw some Bible at that? How about Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. That we are supposed to keep working until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You know what that passage means? That passage means you need to keep working on being better until you're Jesus, okay? That's when you can stop trying to be better, when you're Jesus. We all have room to grow because none of us are Jesus. Or how about this one in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, where Paul the apostle that we respect so much says, not that I have already attained it or have become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Paul says, I'm not perfect, but one thing I do, I keep pressing on. I keep striving to become better than I already am. Or as we read in our Bible reading this morning, when the apostle Peter wrote in his second epistle this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, now for this reason also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly love. Brotherly kindness, and your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, there's always room to grow. There's always room to improve. I need to always be asking myself, what's my next step? What's the thing that I need to do next to become more like Jesus? And when I find that, I need to keep pressing and keep striving and keep reaching until I accomplish that, until I am better today than I was yesterday, and I'm better tomorrow than I am today. We must always keep looking for our next step. And as Peter tells us, that if we continue striving in that way, if those qualities are yours and they are increasing in us, we prove ourselves profitable, fruitful, and well-pleasing in the sight of God. One of my favorite preachers, Russ Bowman, I listened to a sermon of his a while back, and he made this great point. That as a Christian, because we're on a journey, and because there's such an emphasis placed on improvement, there's such an emphasis on in improving ourselves bit by bit until we attain to the measure of the stature of our Lord Jesus Christ, that every single Christian, if I asked you, what are you working on right now, should have an answer like that. There should always be something in your mind, always be an idea, always be a thought, always be a quality that you're thinking in your mind, that's where I need to improve, that's where I need to get better. And if I'm not thinking about that, if there's not something that I'm working on right now, then I'm stuck in place. And I'm not working on my next step. We need to always be thinking, what's my next step? And when we find that next step, we need to be willing to take it. That won't always be easy. Sometimes it will be extremely difficult. But we need to be willing to take it, whatever it is. And now some of us may be thinking, that's great. I need to be working on my next step, but I got to be honest with you, Jonathan. I don't quite know how to do that. I don't know how to find my next step. And the truth is, we're kind of at a disadvantage when it comes to finding our next step, because we can't run up to the Son of God and ask him, "Hey Jesus, hey, what does my next step need to be? What would you have me do next?" Although, considering what he told the rich young ruler, you might be glad that you don't have the opportunity to do that to Jesus, because he might ask you to do something that's really uncomfortable. Although it is still a pertinent question, how do we find our next step? How do we find our next step if we're wondering where I need to improve next? And I have a couple things I need to throw at you, and then the lesson will be yours this morning. How do you find your next step? The first thing I need to say about that is this, that first of all, some of you already know. Some of you already know what your next step needs to be, don't you? Some of you, when we came here this morning and I started talking about improving bit by bit and knowing what Jesus wants you to do next and how to become better, you already thought in your mind, right there, I know what I need to work on. I know where I need to improve. I've been trying to work on it. I've been thinking about working on it. I know what my next step is. And if that's you, you need to get going on it. I do too. But there are some of you in this audience right now who are thinking, I really don't know what my next step should be. Here are a couple thoughts for you. How about this? Ask God. Ask God what your next step should be. How about every single day in the coming week, you bow on your knees and you make this simple prayer to God. God, I want to take the next step. I want to improve. I want to be more like Jesus. And I want you to show me. I want you to help me become more like him. Tell me, show me what I can do, what you would have me do to become better. Pray to him. Read the Bible and figure out where your life doesn't line up. Ask God. And he'll help you see. And how about this too? Ask your husband or your father. As men, we are the spiritual leaders in our homes. And as our children and as our wives need to understand, they need to know that if they come to us and they ask us, I need to know how to improve, I need to know how to become better, we'd better have answers for them. So go, ask your husband, ask your father, what can I do to become better? How can I improve? And as husbands and fathers and leaders in the home, guys, we'd better have an answer for that. And to put the cherry on top of that, make sure that you ask your elders. Make sure you ask the elders here, because they are the ones who are tasked by God to shepherd your soul. And I guarantee you, because I've been in meetings with these men, I guarantee you that they're thinking about your spiritual progress and they're thinking about how you can improve. Not in a critical sort of fashion, but in an encouraging sort of fashion. They are thinking about what you can do to become better. And so go ask them. And if they can't think of something off the top of their head, they'll work with you on it. Ask your elders what your next step should be. Life is a journey, and we live it one step at a time. And while we may never attain spiritual perfection while we're living here on this earth, we need to understand this very clearly, that the Lord is not going to tolerate any of us being frozen in place. He wants us to take the next step. And then he wants us to take the next step after that. And then he wants us to take the next step after that. And then the next step after that. Until we attain to the measure of the stature of our Lord Jesus Christ. So ask yourself this morning, what's your next step? What do you need to do to become more like Jesus? And put that into action in your week, this coming week. Or maybe you need to put that into action right now. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins. And you know that you need to be. You know what the Bible says, that those who believe in Jesus are willing to confess his name before men and repent of their sins. You know that they can be baptized and have their sins washed away. And you haven't done that yet. There is salvation through no one else and no other way. Take that step right now. We'll help you if you come to the front while we stand and while we sing.